On this Air Check episode, our guest is WEBN Cincinnati morning host, Kid Chris.
It's part one of a two-part Air Check session, where Kid Chris tells us about his start in Syracuse, his relationship with Howard Stern, the one market where even though religious groups were not too fond of him, he had an epiphany, what he did on hiatus, living back with his mom, his 20 years with co-host Thomas, and more.
Let's go.
Welcome to Air Check, Season 2, a podcast about radio's personality from radio personalities, managers, consultants, owners, and your most humble hosts from Philadelphia, Rich DeSisto and Paul Kelly.
Hey, this is Rich DeSisto.
And I'm Paul Kelly.
Our guest today has been making radio waves since his start in Syracuse in 1998, leaving a trail of radio cities across the country entertained by his brand of radio.
KICT Wichita, KSFM and KXOA Sacramento, KSRX San Antonio, WYSP Philadelphia, KUFO Portland, WKLS Atlanta, and WEBN Cincinnati.
He's got great stories to share from each of his radio stops,
as well as changes to the show along the way.
The Kid Chris Show gives you compelling radio.
John Mark Carr's on the phone. This is the guy that went and confessed that he killed JonBenet.
I didn't do that. I was pursued and I was arrested. I did not go turn myself in. I did not give my name. So, you know, I don't understand anyone thinking that what you just suggested.
Fred Goldman, how you doing, Fred?
I'm fine, and how are you both?
Good. If OJ's camp were to say, look, you stop coming after me for, you know, the almost $40 million, and you can have 10 minutes in a room with OJ Simpson, would you go for it?
You know what? The fact is, sure, I'd love to, but the reality is, no, I want to punish him for the rest of his life.
Mr. Howard Stern's on the phone with us.
It feels weird to be on your show.
I know. This is usually our conversation when I'm standing in my kitchen.
No, you're a lot better than that. You got to hear him when he's in his kitchen.
Our buddy Brad DeCripple interviewed Abe Vigoda, who played Fish on Barney Miller.
Yeah, is this Fish?
What?
You're not dead yet?
I'm sorry, I don't...
I love your work.
All right. Thank you. I'm busy now. I'm sorry. I have to say goodnight.
All right, don't care.
Abe Vigoda!
This is Kid Chris.
Here he is. Kid Chris.
Well... I appreciate you inviting me here to talk about radio. Well, it's my first love. My wife is my second, but this is my first love, okay? And sometimes first and second.
Well, arguably a love of radio from which you have benefited now 22 years.
Yeah.
Syracuse, Wichita, Sacramento, San Antonio, Philadelphia, Portland, Atlanta, and now your tenure in Cincinnati. But looking at your path, Chris, your time in Sacramento seems like it was a pinnacle moment for many reasons. One of which, of course, a pretty big reason. It's a guy named Howard Stern began to know your name. How did your relationship with Howard begin?
That was pretty awesome because, you know, through the years of like when I was visiting Syracuse and stuff, I would run into Casey Armstrong that was on the Stern show. And because he was a stand-up, he was just doing comedy. So I'd see him at the comedy clubs. You know, we had come off the radio in Sacramento because Opie and Anthony got in some trouble and then they flipped the station. So it was Stern and then, you know, the classic rock all day. And I was under contract, so I was just playing music in the studio at night and watching television. That's all I did. And then I ended up just sending in bits to Casey to see what would happen. And then one night, you know, because on the West Coast, Stern would air live from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Then they would start it over for drive time. I got a call at like 4 in the morning from the board ops screaming at me into the phone. He's like, Stern's playing your O.J. Simpson prank calls. And I was like, oh my God. And I remember jumping up and going, this is insane.
Okay, a couple of things. A comedian named Kid Chris sent me a bunch of celebrity prank calls he made that are funny as hell, but he also told me he played them on a ton of other radio shows all over the country. So I listened to them. They're real funny, and I want to play them for you. But if you heard them on other shows, what can I tell you? He evidently did it with a bunch of radio shows.
Oh.
But what should we do? Should we not play them?
Let me hear one. You're
going to love
funny.
It. You're going to love it. I can guarantee
it. Because I haven't heard them. Now, should I be denied the opportunity to hear them?
Okay, here you go. He made a string of phony phone calls to O.J. Simpson.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, Juice?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Who's this?
This is AC. Let's go kill somebody tonight.
Bye.
Juice? Juice, it's Chris Rock. What do you say you and I go kill the Spice Girls?
Juice, every time I call you, I always be laughing.
Hello?
Juice, you're late. We're supposed to go out and kill people tonight. What's going on?
I really can't talk. I'm at dinner with a bunch of people, and I have no idea who you are.
I'm the real killer, OJ. Oh, what? Hello?
Isn't that great? I told you it's great.
Yeah. How could that not be great?
Kid Chris is the guy's name.
From there, it just took off. And then, you know, and they've always been nice to me since. I don't get it. I don't know how I got the keys. You know, all of a sudden it was like this trust, and I don't understand it, and I'm not going to question it.
So in Sacramento, you were there on the hip-hop station, but eventually you made it over to a talk station where you're doing four-hour talk show at nighttime, which started to garner some ratings and some national attention. You tell us about that and what happened there?
Well, I mean, it's funny because as we started talking about doing this podcast, I was looking at it going, wow, you know, my plan was to get into that company and to move up. And on paper, it looks like that. But during the time I just got there, I was only doing the morning show for like 3 months, and I was at a ball game, and my sales manager said, they just put the Howard Stern show on our sister station. And I freaked out. I'm like, I just got here. How could you put that on? I mean, that's a major distraction.
Slightly.
I was screaming in the program director's office, and he just kind of sat there. His name's Byron. To this day, I still talk to him. He said, are you done? And I was like, yeah, I guess. And he goes, they want to put you on that radio station. And right there, I was like, oh, well, okay. So it was Stern. They had a midday show, Opie and Anthony, and then us. And I thought, that you can't get any better than that. That is the umbrella. That's the safety zone. So we could go in there and do our or try to find what we do, really, essentially, because we went from, you know, six songs on the top 40 radio station, or, you know, a hip hop station, to all talk at night. And for over a month, I was doing both. I'd get up and do the morning show, go home and take a nap, and then do the night show from 7 to midnight. I don't have those tapes. Those tapes got destroyed. That's sad stuff.
The air check session. That's not a chore to sit through. At least we hope not. All kinds of radio recollections and characters welcome. We want your best and worst. Get your name on the air check guest list. Email aircheckme@gmail.com to join Rich DeSisto and Paul Kelly on Air Check, a podcast about radio's personality from radio personalities.
Kid Chris, all grown up now. How did it all start?
It's funny because I had to stay a half year longer in high school, and all my friends went off to college, and it was me by myself. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And after that half year was over, I was working at a grocery store, and, you know, all my life growing up, we used to prank call radio shows or prank call our friends and all that stuff and record. I mean, I still got cassettes like crazy. And I heard a guy on the radio doing it on a top 40 station. His name is Bill Keeler. And I thought, oh my God, this guy's doing, this is his job. He's just playing with a telephone on the radio and playing songs.
Hello?
Yes, I'm looking for Mrs. Noel, please.
This is Mrs. Noel.
I've got a few problems with your son. He gave me your telephone number.
Okay, what's wrong?
Nothing is wrong with him whatsoever. Everything is fine. They're completely healthy. No problem whatsoever, except for the fact that we have an outstanding bill. They're in the penthouse.
Yes.
Apparently him and someone else, and they were raising a ruckus last night. And they've run up a bill that that exceeds $2,000. We're looking at $2,349.22 with room service.
He'll make it right.
Oh, no.
Yes, he will.
He's in hotel prison, and that's where he's going to stay until I get this bill paid this morning.
What happened?
Well, why don't you explain it, Mr. Noel?
Ma'am, do you remember when we went to Green Street in Studio 30 that time with Bill Keeler?
Yes.
Well, that's him on the line.
Oh, Bill Keeler!
One of the bits I did on the Keeler show, which was like my first taste at topical funny, and I was happy with it because it got a lot of laughs and stuff, is when the Menendez brothers were going to jail because they killed their family. And I thought in the production room, it'd be funny to play both of them. So on this tape, I'm on the phone as one Menendez brother, and I'm playing a reel-to-reel of me on the telephone crying in the background. And then I would switch to the as the other brother, and then I would rewind the reel-to-reel with more crying just so it sounds like the other brother's crying. I would just keep going back and forth.
Is this who I think it is?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Eric Menendez.
This is Eric Menendez.
Wow.
On the line right with us right now. A very exclusive interview that we're bringing to you here on the radio this morning. Eric Menendez. Things got to be pretty tough for you right now, Eric.
Yeah, we, as you may or may not know, we were convicted.
Yeah,
murdering my parents. Talk to Lyle.
All right, I'll talk to Lyle here.
Hello?
Hi, Lyle.
Hi.
Yeah, I hear Eric in the background there.
He's crying.
I moved on from there when he left the market, and I was working with another radio show, and then I just, within that company, a local owner, still a local owner, still there, I just moved up to morning show sidekick within that company. But that's how it all started. I didn't know what I was going to do. I remember one day my dad just sent telling me, hey, when I get home from work tonight, we're going to have a talk. And it was about, I'm sure, about what are you going to do? And we never had that talk. I don't think he knew what I was going to do. He wanted me to be, he worked at an elevator company. He wanted me to be an apprentice working on elevators. And I was like, that's stupid. I'm not doing that. I'd still would be there working, though. Wouldn't have to move across the country if that was the case. But, that's how it started.
So did you start in Top 40 or did you start in rock? What was the format when you started?
Well, when I started, it was a rock station, but it was that show in the morning was a talk show.
Okay.
But I enjoy, to this day, I still enjoy Top 40 and Hot AC. I think the jocks and the shows that are put together are tight. And I that's what I still like about radio is that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a really cool start. I mean, to graduate high school and then you have a favorite jock, a favorite station right there in your hometown, and then you come on the air. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah, it was the first day in the studio to meet them was to win wrestling tickets, another love of mine. And my friend and I showed up and we went to a street corner and we let listeners show up and write their names all over our bodies. We were covered in Sharpie. That's why whenever we get people to do dumb stuff on the radio, it's like, I've been there. I've done it. So that was my in. And I just ended up talking with the host and said, I would love to get involved with this. And, I'm still friends with him to this day. We talk at least once a week. We go over stuff, about the business and all that. It's still, the nerd is still in me. I love it.
You left Syracuse and you wound up in Wichita, Kansas. Did you throw a dart at the map? I mean, how did that happen?
It's funny. One of the program directors at K-Rock in Syracuse, that's where I was working, when I was relieved of my duties there, one of the program directors had since left and was working for Geffen Records, I believe. He was a record rep. And one of his radio stations was T95 in Wichita. And I applied for the job and he put in a good word for me. And next thing you know, I was in my Nissan Pulsar and driving to Wichita, Kansas from Syracuse, New York.
What's going on? It's Kid Chris. It's a two for Tuesday, finger 11 and hole coming up to complete what we call a new for twofer. What's up, babe?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. What is that number you guys advertise sometimes where you can, like, meet people and crap?
Oh, you want it?
Yeah.
All right, why are you looking to hook up?
No, I don't. I'm looking to meet, like, people to be friends with it right now.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 18.
I'll be your friend.
Now, what day part were you doing there?
I was 6 to midnight. It was okay. A long shift, yeah.
Because apparently you became real popular with the religious groups there.
Yes. And it's funny. I remember, when you're at home, you're still kind of skittish when you're on the radio. I didn't want my parents hearing me. When I first started doing a shift on the air on a Saturday, I would go in at 3 a.m. and work with the overnight guy in Syracuse because I didn't want any of my friends hearing me on the radio. I had to learn to work the reel to reel and all that stuff. I was scared to death of if I got my balls broke by my friends in high school, I would have quit. So I did it in the middle of the night. When I got to Wichita, nobody knew me. And I thought, now I can do this. I can do what I want and just push it. And radio there was so different because they, I don't want to say they were, but they weren't privy to what was going on elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I could go there and push it a little bit more. And being on at night, I mean, the management's not listening. So I had more wiggle room, and it was one of the greatest jobs I ever had because I found myself on that radio station. It was great.
Hey, Wichita, here comes a kid from New York.
Yes. Oh yeah. And I got slayed for that. Even though I'm from Syracuse, you know, they hear the state New York, they think the city, and I was insulted all the time and all that. Yeah. That, I mean, that was a, there was profiling stuff. It was great.
This is an Air Check Rewind. Season 1, Cousin Ed.
Right before you go into this garage-esque studio, there's a big thing on the wall, box, and it's full of earplugs. And it says, you know, please put these on before entering. And I was not about to do that. If I ever wanted any type of music, especially Metallica in its purest form, it was that moment right there.
Air Check, a podcast about radio's personality from Radio Personalities. Seasons 1 and 2 available now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
It's interesting, isn't it, how where certain moments in our lives, in our careers, make their impact. And looking back on Wichita, your time on T95, like you said, you found yourself a pretty big deal for you.
Yes. And I look back more now and understand how more important it was than what I treated it. I was young and I was just trying to make noise. It was more of a like, hey, what about me? You know what I mean? I'm like, and I would just insult people and just stir it up just to get it going. A lot of that stuff is embarrassing to listen to now because I know I'm like, why did I do that? You know, what is it? There was no point. And every time they would yell at me and say, what's the point? I would just do it more because it was like, you know, what do you know? But it was wrong. But I guess I had to do it at the time. And Wichita, I know I wasn't going to stay, but it was so important that, you know, for me to find myself and then realize, you know, and then listening back to stuff going, I shouldn't do that anymore. You know, but it was so important.
Well, I wasn't even kidding about the religious groups. I mean, there was a petition to get you off and out of there, correct? What'd you do?
I was just doing that 90s radio where it was like, you know, somebody would call in, you just tell them to go, you know, screw themselves. Or, you know, that's just that whole thing that was popular back then, I guess. And plus, you know, I guess I had my teenage angst late in life. So it was a lot of that too. Just angry that it's like, well, how come I'm not the morning show guy? You know, why am I here? Why is this old dude doing the mornings? And why am I on at night? Which, you know, it was the appropriate spot for me. It was a long night and it was awesome. And I learned so much. And to this day, I still have friends there and I have bits that I still, obviously they're more tweaked, but that I still do to this day. But yes, the churches, it was the news. It was unbelievable how many times I was on the news with people just wanting me to lose my job. It was so, crazy, but it was very, it helped with the ladies. That's for sure.
Hey, this message is for Chris. My name is Pete McNair. I'm the current program director for KICT T95 in Wichita. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year, and Chris spent some time here in Wichita, kind of made some waves, as I understand it, and I was hoping to see if Chris would be willing to help us celebrate with a short video.
You know what? That's the place where that guy Barnaby Wild worked.
That's a cool name. Barnaby Wild.
I was actually excited when I got that. I love that radio station when
I
worked there.
Are you going to do the video?
I mean, the cameras are on right now. They can put a video of me insulting the place on the.
Do you remember girls you hooked up with out there?
I'll tell you, that would be the town that I would be afraid of.
I was saying, you go back there, and all of a sudden,
man,
yeah.
Hi, this is your son.
Wichita was my first run with chlamydia. Here's your video.
That's yeah. There you go. I want to thank Wichita.
Dude, there was a, it was funny. The way the studio was set up, it sounded great. The radio, it was all, it was a fat rock station. It was banging. And then I'd be on the air at night. I worked, listen to this shift, 6 p.m. to midnight, and I did the whole thing. And I'd be on the radio, and girls would just show up. In good quality ones too, because in up there, there's no ugly girls in Wichita.
Well, and you are the cream of the crop in Wichita.
Of course,
you are it. Oh, you were the, you are the famous person
That's
in
right.
Wichita.
Yeah. I was the one on the news. Everybody wanted to get off the air, so they would just show up, and you know, I didn't have time to prepare. I'd just be like, yeah. There was a time these two girls showed up, and I was on the radio talking, and they were standing behind me. And when I went on the air and was doing my break, they grabbed me and just started doing stuff to me. Two girls. They threw me on the floor.
Yeah.
One was on one end, one was on the other. And then two windows down, there was another radio station where this guy, Ricardo Cherry, worked. It was a rap station.
That's a cool name, too. You go,
Ricardo Cherry.
Hey, Kid Chris, it's Ricardo Cherry. So I walk the girls out. He's outside smoking, and they get in their car, and he goes, I saw everything that happened. Good work, my man.
So what made you make the jump from Wichita, Kansas to Sacramento, California?
Well, I was on my third station in Wichita, and the last two stations were the same people, and they backed me during everything. So I was very loyal to them. I was getting, believe it or not, I was getting calls from like St. Louis and stuff for, at the time it was J-Corps. And I would tell them straight up, these guys backed me up for a lot of headaches and they were there for me. So I'm not leaving. And then after about a year or so, I felt like it was time to go. So a market manager in Sacramento for Infinity Broadcasting, emailed a bunch of morning shows. I found out later on, but I got an email saying, hey, I'm looking for a morning show. Are you interested? And I was just kind of like, I don't know, grouchy that day or something. I just wrote back, you can't afford me, like a big shot. And he wrote back, his name is Jerry McKenna. He wrote back and said, try me, let's talk. And I ended up talking to those guys. And Mr. Big Negotiator, I flew into town. It took me to, the program director, Byron, took me to Johnny Rockets and just said, well, you know, the job pays this. And it was 60 grand. He goes, the morning's 60 grand. I said, deal, fine. Didn't even negotiate. It was two things. It was mornings, which I thought I could do this. I was wrong, but and it was Infinity Broadcasting. I felt like if they were if they had all these other big talents and they were protecting them, this is my way to get into that company, make some noise, and maybe learn and get go up the ladder like I have in the other places in that company. So that was the plan. I didn't want to do top four. It was like a rap station. I didn't want to do it, but I had to get in the door.
So what happened there? I mean, your contract ended, you stopped playing records and you ended up back in New York.
Yeah, I was off the radio. I was under contract, but I had an opportunity to go to Cleveland to WMMS. And I flew into town and I had to bring my contract so they could look at it, you know, and make sure that they could talk to me, and they couldn't. So I remember asking my market manager out in Sacramento, I was like, I have an opportunity. I don't want to just be playing records at night. And he was super cool. Let me go and talk to them. Let me out of my contract. It essentially fired me because I was just done. He released me. And that job wasn't what I wanted to do. It just didn't fit. So I just didn't have a job. So that December, I moved back to Syracuse with my mom. And it was a couple months of just sitting at home. And I had an opportunity again that they wanted to talk to me about WMMS, and I was into it. I actually went there for a week and tried out for a job and stuff. And then during that time, I got a call, and it was about doing some, like writing for the Stern Show, doing some bits for the Stern Show and just doing it from home. And I was so excited about that opportunity, but I told them, I don't want to join your show And then I get this opportunity in Cleveland where I could be competing against you. I don't think that's not something I want to do. I don't want to all of a sudden, you know, make you think that I used you or anything like that. So I turned down the Stern job just because I was talking to this radio station and they went with somebody else. And I was back at home. I ended up getting an agent because I wasn't handling these situations well. And he got me back in talking with WMMS. Loved everybody there. It was a cool opportunity. And I tried out for a week. And they ended up going with somebody else. And I just ended up going back home. I remember after like a month or so, I hit up Gary Delabate and I said, hey, man, is that opportunity still there? And they said, oh, absolutely. And it was great. I would, you know, being in Syracuse, I would just jump on a JetBlue flight once a month or whatever and just go down there. But I would send in, they just wanted 2 bits a week. I did it. I would get like their show meeting notes to help come up with ideas and stuff. It was a great, I mean, if anything, that situation there, you know, they say like people will say like, you know, the guys will use that show as an influence for bits or whatever, but it was more of the way they communicated with their staff and built ideas that turned me on to working with other guys on my show rather than me coming up with it and coming to work and throwing it out there, where it became more of a, oh, this is an ensemble kind of thing. And the way they communicate using technology and the show notes I would get and stuff, I said, oh, I like this. I'm going to do this down the road when I get back to work.
This episode of Air Check continues right after this shameless begging for your radio stories. You got one? More than one? Taking what we can get. Email aircheckme@gmail.com to join Rich DeSisto and Paul Kelly on Air Check, a podcast about radio's personality from Radio Personalities.
If it was Wichita where you say you found yourself, the radio guy, it was certainly Sacramento where the Kid Chris Show, as we know it today, found you. I mean, bits started to stick and creation of characters began to become regulars on the show.
I had characters in Wichita that I took with me. There was, I mean, like a bit on the show that, I mean, that happened in 99. We started doing this character called Larry from high school, which was just my friends and I hanging out and just goofing on this guy that ran into his drunk friend when we were out one night, and it was that we were at an IHOP, and they just kept going, remember that time in high school? Hey, remember that time in high school? And it was all these dumb stories. So my friend Gavin, he was a Wichita cop. We just were goofing on him. And so he started calling into my show as Larry from high school with all these dumb stories. And it was mostly about like the janitor getting too handsy with me or me earning grades.
Here's Larry from high school reminiscing with Kid Chris.
Hey, Cobra.
Yeah, Larry.
Hey, remember when the janitor had to give you a new locker, but you had to go fishing with him first? Did he have a pond in his office? What's a trouser trout? Was it big?
Keep listening for more memories from Larry from high school.
It was all this stuff that was just obviously stupid and way over the top. And that was the bit. And we used that all the way up until he died like 3 years ago. So that came with me. But in Sacramento is where it all kind of branched out as far as me opening up and letting, you know, having other people on the show.
And one of those people actually ended up being your co-host, the infamous Thomas.
I think we should have Thomas go head first.
Okay.
Right, run through like a marathon guy, okay?
Okay.
Look, he's into it, actually.
He's a little tank engine. Okay, you want me to count him down?
Yeah, count him down.
5.
Come on, Thomas. 5.
4. 3. 2. 1.
Thomas was a guy that worked in promotions at the rap station, and his hours, they needed him for certain days and he couldn't do it because he was in school and working at another job, moving dead bodies at a hospital. And he was only available in the morning. And I said, hey, man, if you want to be an intern on the morning show, I'll take you in a second. and he came on, and he was funny on the air because he wasn't a radio guy, and he would just talk. He wasn't afraid of the microphone, but he also wasn't a radio guy. So I love that.
And the chemistry between you guys, was it always that comfortable? Because from the Philly time that I have the experience of working with you and listening to the show, the chemistry between you guys is just unreal. Was it always like that, or did that have to get developed?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the chemistry as far as knowing each other and having the same sense of humor was organic, that chemistry. But on the air, you know, every year it would get better. It was a train wreck on the air, but so was I. I mean, we were learning together. You know what I mean? I mean, you learn to this day. I still have to learn, you know, different ways to present and to communicate. So we're still doing that. I try to still to this day shield him and all my guys away from the radio side of it, because I think that corrupts them. It makes you double think things on the air, and it, you know, it's like, well, I got to be a broadcaster, and it's like, no, just hang and be funny. That's it. You know, so it's a, yeah, I think that, I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but it's still, the chemistry was great off the air. And I said, let's put this on the air. And then, but there's times where we could be talking about something to somebody in the studio and we could just look at each other. And we know where we're going. We know this guest sucks. Let's bury him. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Thomas is at school right now at a college. And what he's going to do is just go into class and get free education. We're teaching people how to get free education nowadays.
The hallway just got busy all of a sudden.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to hear.
Did the bell ring?
Yeah, kind of. All right, here we go.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, I'm late. I'm here for class. The one where you learn. Aren't you here to learn too?
Who are you? And what class are you in?
My name is Steve. I'm here to learn. I'm a transfer student.
Can I get a pass?
Can I go to the bathroom?
Why are you here?
You don't. We don't educate anymore. Is that what's going on here? Look, I'm here to learn. No child left behind, lady.
Okay.
Let's do it. I'm learning.
Well, I don't know who you are, and I don't know.
I just told you I'm Steve, and I want
to
learn.
Okay, I'm going to call security.
What are you going to call security for?
Okay, you better go. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Look, I'm just going to go pee, all right? Thought we were teaching. Guess not. Have a good day.
Oh, my God. You better get out of there, dude. I thought you were going to freeze up.
I was too.
You better hurry up and get back, dude.
I'm coming right now.
You know, unfortunately, after 20 years or so, Thomas was a victim of the downsizing that happened because of the COVID thing. Huge bummer. And, you know, I've been through this before when he opted out of the radio show at one point. I mean, one side of me, obviously, I'm bummed out because that's a guy I worked with for 20 years. And I don't want to say a crutch, but he was a crutch on the show because that was my go-to for comedy relief and stuff. But also, like anything else, we have to evolve and things change in your life, work, everything. So, you know, we got to evolve. And that's a scary thing walking into is evolving. Like I said, I've done it before several different times. But it's scary. I don't want to keep having to do this.
Yeah. That really sucks, man. Thomas is a good dude. I wish him nothing but the best. And you never know. Keep the door open, right? You guys might reunite again in the near future.
Yeah, big time. And if there's any radio people listening, and if you want one of the funniest dudes on the planet to offer him a job, please hit me up. I will guarantee you that he'll do wonders for your show.
This is an Air Check Rewind. Season 1, Danny Bonaducci.
So I got him in the car, and we started going fairly fast, not as fast as I could, but pretty fast. And he kept saying things like, see, see? I mean, he looked scared. He goes, see, see, I'm not screaming. We come around the last loop, and there's some lady pushing a baby carriage, which I then hit. He starts flipping out, screaming, and he's out of his mind. At the time, it was my wife with a doll in the carriage.
Air Check, a podcast about radio's personality from Radio Personalities. Seasons 1 and 2, available now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Let's go back to that period when you were living with mom, which is always a fun thing, after you left Sacramento, right?
Yes.
And then MMS in Cleveland didn't happen, and you started writing for Howard.
I would go. I've done the show a few times, and Tim Sabian at WISP heard me on there and had reached out to me, and we have spoke a few times on email. I actually had done a few late night shifts on YSP when he had opportunities for me to go in and do, but he didn't want me to say my name or anything because he didn't want to stir stuff up. So whatever, I didn't care. He ended up flipping one of the radio stations in San Antonio to a rock station. He was the rock brand manager. So he placed us in San Antonio. So I was back with Infinity Broadcasting in San Antonio. And that's how that whole connection happened.
And just for a little backstory, for those of you that might not know, Tim Sabian was the program director at the time at WISP in Philly.
Yep.
So during this hiatus, you were still in communication with the other guys from the show.
Yep.
You and Thomas were still keeping tabs on what was happening next.
Yes.
That's pretty honorable. I mean, here you are living back home, wondering what new doors are going to open for you personally. No idea if the Kid Chris show, as it was, would continue.
Yeah.
But there you are. You're keeping in touch. You're keeping at least Thomas part of the plan as best you could moving forward. That's great.
Yeah, I forgot what he was doing. He had another job, and I believe he was living with his dad or something. And I would go out to Sacramento to visit every once in a while. I never lost touch with former interns out there. I had a website still, and I was still doing stuff and putting it up on the website. You know, nobody could really watch it and listen to it because the internet was still kind of wonky. You know what I mean? It was still, the cable internet was still just coming along, and nobody was watching videos online. It wasn't really like that yet. Yeah, I still would do stuff because I knew this isn't done. You know, if I'm getting calls from the biggest show and then the biggest programmer, something's going to happen. You know, and it's hard to sell that to somebody who his taste in radio was basically, hey, show up, get nothing, and now you're gone. So it's for him to say, okay, yeah, I guess I'll hang out and just wait till I get a call. Yeah, that's a lot for him. You know, that's a major props to him for that.
As you go into some of these markets, Chris, you know, as we keep recapping, Syracuse, Wichita, Sacramento, San Antonio, that breed of people that you're able to, feed off of, they seem to be there, whether it's somebody you get on the phone about, a time machine invention.
You know, on the phone is a guy, we talked about him a little while ago with the time machine. Everybody's excited, wants to go back in time. Especially I do when I go back to high school, eighth grade, dance, and I would have finished the job. Paul Foley, right? Is that guy's name?
Yeah.
Paul.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Do you have a time machine, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go back in time yet?
5 minutes a day.
Oh, really?
That's why I sound so young.
Oh, okay.
I mean, people don't believe my age.
I believe it. Where'd you go yesterday? What date?
Let's see. It was...
Gotta go back in time!
Right. No. I'm trying to remember. It was like 3 years ago.
Gotta go back
at the,
in time!
At the Florence Nightingale Rehab Center.
Gotta go back!
If people want to see what it is,
okay,
they can see it. It's www.
It's funny because to this day, I still use it as a slogan for the show, which is the where the socially unacceptable are accepted. And that has always been something I was attracted to. Even when I was a kid, I would watch like this public access show. I would get tapes of it called Beyond Vaudeville. It was a public access show in New York City. It ended up being that show Oddville on MTV. And it would bring out these quirky people. Like, we had this guy, he died just 2 years ago, Bob 33, that I saw on that show years ago. In the late 50s, he was trying to make rockabilly yodeling music. And I thought, this guy's hilarious. So a few years back, I was like, man, what happened to that guy? So I went and looked him up, and he was on our show almost every day up until he died a few years ago. And those are the people that when you're loyal to them, you give them the spotlight. And, you know, you just put them on. They're entertaining already. You just intro them and let them go. And they love it. It's like, well, I'm not going to stomp on these people and stuff. These are the guys that you don't hear anywhere else. And I love that kind of stuff. the quirky stuff. That's more me than the stuff where, you know, we got to go chase the girls around and all that stuff. I mean, that was all part of just making noise to get people to tune in and all that. But that stuff is the quirky stuff that I love. But yes, interns, we had an intern that was in a wheelchair in Sacramento. All the radio stations wouldn't take him as an intern because they were afraid of the liability or whatever. I don't know what it was. I took him in and found him a job on the show, and he became a huge star.
I believe we have Michael J. Fox. Good morning, Michael. You there?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. We got a little short notice that you're going to be calling in. We're glad to hear from you, though, man.
Yeah. Clipshow.com for all of the clips out there. Arf, 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 arf.
Sweet.
Hello?
Are you there, Michael? Are you okay?
Arf, 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 arf,
arf. What in the hell was that?
Good job lining Michael J. Fox up. We just got fully hosed. Good job.
And you can't, when you hear him talking and you think it's Michael J. Fox, you can't even crack a smile or anything because you feel so bad for what
you
he's
think
gone.
He's, oh my God. At first, I swear to God, I'm going, man, he's really gotten bad.
Well, ahead of your time, man. Inclusion is very hip now, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That was Brad, right?
That's
Brad,
right.
The intern?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. There's still some leftover characters on the show, right? Like Constantine, right. who's still part of the show.
Yep.
Hey, what do we got, Constantine?
Yeah. All right. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
I don't know how to do this part.
Yes, you do. You say.
Who's
knock,
that?
Knock.
Yeah. No, you said knock, knock. I say.
Now you confused them.
Now I say, who's there?
Who? Yeah. Okay. And I say, it's a freak.
It's a freak. Who?
It's a freaking freak. Ah!
Boom.
Constantine, we picked up in Philadelphia, and he is on every Friday usually because he likes to come on and does a bit where he like tells jokes and gets everybody fired up for Friday and all that stuff. And he's, you know, he's got like a speech thing or whatever, and but is a radio nerd, knows everything. He reached out to us. So, of course, I'm going to put him on. And if he's bringing content, I love that. And just by turning the mic on.
What about Open Mic? I remember him in Philadelphia, or Scuba Santa.
Say, Scuba Santa is here.
Woo! Scuba Santa is here. Yeah! Woo!
He's in the water.
You guys did this bit where you put Open Mic in one of the local malls dressed up as Santa Claus during Christmas time, and he proceeded to walk into the water fountain where people throw their coins in and started picking up all the change. Well, it got the attention of security, and it didn't go well.
There's lots of change in here for all the boys and girls.
What an idiot.
So what are people doing?
Change from Santa.
Give the change to little boys and girls.
Give it to some people.
Oh, I gotta come out.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Give her change or go away.
You guys are bad.
Mike, we told you not to do this.
I gotta get out.
Give her some change. Give her some change.
Tell your Scuba Santa.
Uh-oh.
Tell her.
I'm Scuba Santa.
And you're giving the change to all the good girls.
I'm Scuba Santa, and I was giving the change to all the little boys and girls. No, not Scuba Santa. I'm Scuba Santa.
Yeah. Mike, are you not distributing change?
No, right now, I'm giving a statement.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no.
I live on the north side.
Open Mic we picked up in Sacramento. I saw him at an open mic night, and he was one of the worst comics I've ever seen. I'd never seen anybody silence a room so much. You could hear people blinking. That's how bad it was. And I thought, this guy's he's not quitting. I need him on my show. And we hired him. He was the head writer. I called him the head writer. It's like, well, obviously this show has to have the worst joke writer in history to be the head writer.
Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. Kid Chris, lots of laughs, lots of stories, and more to come.
Kid Chris Part 2 drops next week.
We haven't even scratched the surface. As Aircheck Season 2 continues, Aircheck sessions are lined up with Radio Group owner and Country Radio Hall of Fame member Kirby Confer, radio vet turned media consultant Lori Lewis, whose aliases include Lori Lloyd, Randy, Andy Summers, and from the Bubba the Love Sponge show, Anita Wadd. plus the creator of the classic rock radio format, consultant Fred Jacobs. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/aircheckme. Say hi, tell us what you think, or if you have a favorite episode.
You can stream or download every episode of Aircheck on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, and you can also ask your smart speaker to play Aircheck Podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you subscribe and also give us a great rating, too.
This is Rich DeSisto.
And I'm Paul Kelly.
We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Appreciate you sitting in for this episode of Aircheck, a podcast about radio's personality from radio personalities. We're into season two and more on the way for you. Got questions, comments, or want to be on an upcoming episode? Email aircheckme@gmail.com. Musical props go to Chris Gordon. Announcer props, that's me, Greg O'Brien, the OB. Aircheck seasons 1 and 2 available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. You can also listen on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Aircheck Podcast. Or, OK, Google, play Aircheck Podcast. Aircheck is the creation of RDPK Productions.